I only saw legs, human ones, sticking out from under the dense carpet of fallen leaves. That alone was disturbing enough. But there were three of them, and none looked like they came from the same person. The one farthest to the right was dark-skinned, large, hairy, and was only from the calf down. It partially obscured a much smaller, albeit mainly intact, smooth leg, which was pale. The last appendage had freckled flesh and was missing its foot. I thought it was ironic, therefore, that it was located about 12 inches away from the others. It also lacked most of the thigh, and the bend of its knee reminded me of the number 7. I found it somehow curious that if you added that to the number of toes on the wayward foot, you still got a foot. Seemed like karma to me. It was close to 1 in the morning, but the almost full moon provided enough light to allow me a bird's-eye view, literally, of the macabre display. Perched in my avian form on a large branch above the carnage, I was able to survey the area unnoticed. Or, if anyone did notice me, they would never think the big brown bird in the tree was anything to worry about. Out of place, perhaps, if some bird expert wondered why a desert-dwelling Harris's hawk was in a Smoky Mountain forest. But no one would guess I was part of a team of supernatural enforcers called Zyzok that protect humans from interdimensional bad guys. Hell, I had trouble believing it most days. It had been a few months since I'd first discovered I could change into a hawk. Going birdie was an after-effect of being possessed by Sebastian Kess, a Zyzok from a parallel dimension who had been trapped in my Kindle ebook reader before he got trapped inside me. Long story short, everyone in the other dimension, Corsadon, had varying levels of magical abilities, and Sebastian, who is quite magically endowed, left a little bit of his power in me when he returned to his own body. Mostly, I was a bust when it came to wielding arcane talent, but I was capable of form-bending, a rare ability coveted by some and reviled by others. Over the course of a few months, my mundane human existence morphed into what it is now. I was still human, well, mostly, I guess, but life was a lot less boring. I flew around a bit but didn't see any more body parts or the psycho Corso who had ripped up the hikers. All three college classmates, 2 guys and a girl, all just 20 years old, had been hiking the southern section of the Appalachian Trail. They had been checking in via cell phone regularly, but with the spotty coverage along the trail, their families weren't too worried when they hadn't heard from any of them in a day or so. But when the silence extended well beyond their usual time frame, the local authorities in Tennessee and North Carolina were notified. The initial searchers found nothing, but a few days later, a separate group of hikers made the grisly discovery of a human hand about 100 yards off the trail in Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Fingerprinting identified it as belonging to one of the missing trio, and soon hundreds of law enforcement officials, both state and federal, were combing the area. A Corsadon contact with ties to the National Park Service gave the Zyzok the first inkling that they needed to get involved. During the search of the area, an abandoned campfire pit was discovered, complete with some human remains. While the rest of the group focused on traditional forensic methods to determine that the bone fragments belonged to the other 2 missing hikers, the NPS Corso could sense the magic that still pervaded the area. For the last 2 days, various bits of the 3 had turned up along a more or less northerly trajectory from where the original hand had been found. The magical signature left behind grew stronger along the grisly trail of dismembered parts, and the Zyzok hoped the perpetrators weren't too far ahead. My job was to fly around and try to get a look at whoever was responsible. As Wyterixa, one who was able to change into animal form, I was ideally suited for this type of reconnaissance not only for the obvious reason that, as a bird, I excelled at aerial surveillance. More importantly, my magic wasn't detectable when I became feathered, which meant any Corso wouldn't suspect they were being watched. But after a week of tracking, the perpetrator always eluded us. Having accomplished nothing except getting yet another eyeful of the gruesome carnage, I winged my way back to where the command post was located, about 6 miles away. As I flew over the treetops, it occurred to me that being able to do so made travel a breeze. I would have laughed at my pun, or maybe groaned, except either was hard to do with a beak. Circling once before landing, I lighted upon the roof of the mobile command post. The MCP looked like the moderately sized motorhomes used by law enforcement agencies to centralize operations in the field. With state-of-the-art satellite communications and surveillance equipment right next to a fully stocked galley, it provided the Zyzok with everything they needed to search for interdimensional desperados in the same ways it might be utilized by a human constabulary. And for the most part, it operated similarly as well.